Elliot Friedman, apologies for getting to you late. Red Warner, it's his last day before his three-day holiday, decided to ask Stephen Brunt 100 questions in our last segment.
That's no problem. If you introduce me with Mad World, I'll be late all the time.
There you go.
This is a great song.
This band a little bit, I mean, I'm talking to the wrong people. I like Tears for Fears. They're a little bit underrated to me. Mm-hmm. I think people forget about them.
They were huge when we were teenagers, Dean.
They sure were. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to rule the world, after all.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked a lot about Babcock. We'll just get this Babcock thing out of the way. This is what I'm really curious about. How or who is going to be this GM? Because this seems like a very strange hierarchy now. They said yesterday, well, with Babcock and Shanahan, we're in no rush. So it would feel like if I'm a potential GM of the Leafs, well, I certainly don't have autonomy to make decisions. Yeah. Am I going to be the capologist and paper shuffler, or what is the role of the GM going to be for the Leafs
when they
hire him?
There. Yeah, they already have a capologist there in Brandon Pridham, and a very good one. This is the way I think it's going to work. When you look at your situation in Calgary, you have Burke and then you have Brad. And, like, I think Tree Living has a lot of sway there. Like, I remember when he took the job, everybody was like, well, he's just going to do whatever Burke tells him to do. That's not the case. He's very much in charge. He has a big voice. I think in Toronto, it's going to be different. And one of the things that happens, Dean, is that people think, because we're used to it, the GM has all the power. It's going to be very different in Toronto. You're going to have Shanahan with the final say on everything. You're going to have Babcock with a big say on a lot of stuff. You're going to have Mark Hunter in charge of a lot of the amateur stuff. You're going to have Kyle Dubas in charge of the American Hockey League and some pro stuff too. Like, those guys are all going to have big says. But I think what the GM is going to do, from what I'm hearing, is the GM is the guy who's going to be the person who says, okay, here's the plan. I'm going to make the phone calls and start to see, all right, make the contacts and say, these are our options for taking care of the plan. He's going to be the person who does a lot of the groundwork with other teams. Now, it was yesterday, Mike Babcock mentioned Mark Hunter's name about how much he likes him about 4 or 5 times. So on the daily wagering chart of who is going to be the next GM of the Maple Leafs, Mark Hunter's name shot up about 10,000 points yesterday. The names we've heard a lot of, Julien Brisebois from Tampa, he has told people he's not leaving the Lightning. We've also heard Jeff Gorton from the Rangers. They have not given anybody permission to talk to him, and the word is he is Glenn Sather's next replacement. Then there's two other names. There's George McPhee, who I think fits ideally with what the Maple Leafs are talking about, and Mike Fiuta of the LA Kings. And I think if Fiuta is the guy, they won't get him till after the draft. I'm hearing that the Kings have said he's staying with us for the draft, and I don't think the Leafs would be too concerned about that because Mark Hunter is going to run their draft anyway.
Yeah, ordinarily, you would think, being GM of the Maple Leafs, that's a sought-after job. I don't think that's the case. This almost feels like an AGM or something. I don't think that there would be, like, if Ray Shiro was still unhired, you know, if he was still a free agent, he's not taking that job because it's...
Well, go further on that, they did talk to Peter Chiarelli briefly before he took the job in Edmonton, and he was not interested in that particular setup. I think it's a good job still because it's high profile. You will get to be part of the decision-making process, and you will be laying the groundwork for a lot of moves. But if you're someone who wants the final say, you're not getting it there. Hello?
Yeah, hi, sorry. We're on location and the thing dropped out. I was hoping you'd just keep talking. But
no problem.
Thanks for letting us down. The funny thing is...
Jeez. Wow.
You know, and I guess just my last point on this, I think to this, everybody likes Mike Babcock. Great guy, Saskatoon, Team Canada gold medals.
Yep.
I think that changes now in the way he left Detroit. He used Buffalo to a certain extent, whether it's a ton or just a little bit. He leveraged. I don't either, but you know what the outside looking in perspective is going to be, that he leveraged himself to get more money or whatever. And now am I wrong? Am I saying something? It's absolutely true.
I think that's so weak. Like, Dean, come on. Like, let's just say, for example, like, you get another offer to do a morning show somewhere. Are you not using that offer to get yourself maybe a better deal here?
Different scenario, Elliot.
Why?
Because they came. Because Mike Babcock is, in essence, doesn't have a job. I have no problem with him leaving Detroit for more money. I have a problem with him going and sitting down I'm very interested.
Let's do it. Nobody cares, and a coach can't do it.
Let's hammer out a deal. Hammer out a deal. We'll figure things out. I'm going to give you a call, and then you call up the Leafs. Listen, I'm not saying he's wrong to do it, but he did it. And the outside perspective is going to be that he used the Buffalo Sabres to either get a sweeter offer or a better destination.
You know what? That's the way the world works.
Fact.
You don't think that the Buffalo Sabres do that to people? And, like, Rhett, where's Rhett?
Hey,
Rhett, why is it that a player gets to do this and a coach can't?
Can you listen?
No,
just for a second, I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm saying he did it.
It's yeah.
I'm saying that the outside. Would you, let's just, is this thing on?
I'll be quiet. First you get mad at me for not talking, and now you get mad at me for talking.
You can't win, Elliot. This is what I've learned.
What I'm saying, the roundabout thing is that all of a sudden Mike Babcock has a bit of the black hat. People will be rooting for him to fail to a certain extent because of how it looks. I'm not saying he's wrong. Absolutely. If you can get yourself a sweeter spot, you do what you can. But I'm sure in Buffalo they're a little sour, and some because it's the Leafs, people are going to see Mike Babcock in a different light.
I think it goes a little bit more deeper, too, because and I'm a huge Mike Babcock guy, but it just started to look a little too
self-serving.
The way he was treating the Red Wings a little bit, I didn't like that. There's a team, and maybe I'm overreacting to it, right? They know that Babcock and the Wings know that relationship better than I do. And maybe
I do agree with you on one thing. The Red Wings were clearly uncomfortable with how this went, and I think that was part of the issue for them. They're LeBron James' decision, like, I've covered basketball and I've covered hockey, and the cultures of the sport are 100% different, and not just because of the makeup of the athletes. Basketball is a very much, like, I could not believe how honest basketball players were. If you asked them a question, you were getting the answer, whether you liked it or not. And it's very much an in-your-face game, and I think that goes to the, and also don't forget, that basketball, how did they save the NBA in the 80s with Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and promoting the player? So, like, this LeBron James decision thing last year, people didn't like it, but it was very the way basketball has been promoted. Hockey has always been about the team. The jersey, the logo on the front means more than the name on the back. There were a lot of people in the NHL who were very uncomfortable with how this whole thing played out. And I do think it was very, for lack of a better term, very un-NHL. And I don't think the Red Wings liked it at all. At the end of the day, we all know one thing. If the Detroit Red Wings were anywhere close to Toronto or Buffalo's offer, Mike Babcock is coaching the Detroit Red Wings again. They weren't. It was too hard to leave that money on the table. And I don't think any human being can be expected to leave that much money on the table. And at the end of the day, he chose Toronto over Buffalo. I think he probably did more to create the black hat yesterday, guys, when he called Toronto Canada's team. People were going nuts after he did that. That was, to me, was the true black hat thing.
I agree. That comment is just over the top. That's one of the few things he said that I don't think he really thought through.
You know what? And I guess
actually, you know what, Red, knowing him, he probably knew exactly what he was saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On Ken Holland, already, I mean, everyone knows he's one of the classiest guys. Scotty Bowman, not short on confidence. Obviously, Mike Babcock. Poor Kenny Holland had to talk about the Babcock contract for a year and a half. We talked to him like a year ago about Babcock entering this final year of his deal. And even yesterday, he's on primetime on Sportsnet there talking to Ken Reed and the Bobcat there. Just such a classy guy, right?
Yeah, he's great. And I think the way, like, we carried his media conference live on Wednesday after it all happened. And I watched this and I said to myself, this is why Detroit wins. This is why they win. Because, first of all, Holland, you know how Babcock is. He's intense. He's fiery. He changes his mind on players every other day. And Holland dealt with him perfectly. He knew which battles to win. He knew which battles to lose. And you saw how smart he was in that press conference. You know, he was telling you, hey, we were lucky. We had 10 great years with Mike Babcock. We won a Stanley Cup. We were in the playoffs every year. But he's basically saying it was time. Like, the Detroit Red Wings came out and basically said, look, you know, we lost this, but we were prepared to lose it and we were ready to lose it. It's 10 years. And, you know, it's tough to coach in one place for 10 years. And they've also got a ready-made guy there who people think is ready. And if you look at him, look at his record in the American Hockey League, you know, he won a Calder Cup. The next year, he lost to the team that won the Calder Cup. And this year, he's got his team. They were down 2-0 to Toronto in a best-of-five series. They came back and won it. And now they're in their conference final, and Dylan Larkin's joining the team. Like, they see a guy who's just as much of a pedigreed winner at that point that Babcock was. And they were ready for this. They were ready to move on.
I'm ready to move on, too, but one more. Who does win? I mean, Mike Babcock wins financially. It's great.
And
but
the coaches
the win. Or the Detroit Red.
Todd McClellan, and we've had two big deals this year, Rhett, where they're now the first and the second highest paid coaches. So the bar's going up again.
Yeah, I mean, that's great for coaches, financially. But I'm talking about who made a smarter decision on spending. If you're Detroit or Toronto or Buffalo, who won? Is Toronto actually win at the end of this? 8 years from now.
If they win a Stanley Cup, every penny will be worth it. Every penny.
It's like every trade you make. In that, if you win the cup, it's all worth it.
Yeah.
No matter what, if you win it, won it or lost it, well, we won a Stanley Cup.
You know,
we were talking this morning.
Yesterday, say to me, they've got to win two cups to make this worth it. And I was like, are you crazy? Like, seriously. Do you know how hard it is to win one, never mind two? You win one, you take it.
Are we seeing the LA Kings 2.0 in a way with the Anaheim Ducks? They've lost two games all postseason, both of them in extra time. They're a bounce or a goalpost away from being up 3-0.
They're a bounce or goalpost away from being perfect.
From being perfect. Yeah. And, I mean, what's Kessler obviously has been a big change, but what are you seeing that's different in the Ducks?
Well, I think they're deep. They're really a deep team. You know, Kessler has changed them for the better. Silverberg has changed them for the better. You know, it's funny. I was talking to a general manager last week, and, you know, I'm talking about looking for a top six forward. And you know what he said to me? He said something very interesting. He goes, what is a top six forward? And because he goes, like, you look at the Ducks, they've got Pat Maroon playing on, you know, a huge role. He says, does anybody think that guy's a top six forward? But they've found a perfect position for him, and he plays it perfectly. And the Ducks are full of guys like that. I think the amazing thing to me, guys, is how this is a team that was second in the NHL at the deadline and decided our defense wasn't good enough, and they changed it. And one of the guys they went out and got, Wisniewski, can't even play, crack the roster. I just look at them. I see a deep team. I see a confident team. I see a young goalie who is, you know, really confident, and the team believes in him, and they're just a steamroller. You know, if it ends up being Anaheim and Tampa, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how Tampa's going to deal with all that, but I agree with you. They do look a lot like the Kings, but they haven't won anything yet. I'd love to see Boudreaux win. That's a guy who waited a long time to get his chance.
Thought on Chicago. We know this thing isn't over yet. It just hasn't really looked good for them through three games. Are we starting to see, now moving forward, a tough spot for the Hawks? They got $5 million of cap room. They've got four defensemen under contract for next year. Those massive extensions kick in. There's a lot of work to be done for a GM this summer if you're the Hawks.
Well, the one thing that they have is they have a lot of good young players that we don't know about yet. Like I remember asking about that when Kane and Tays signed. A bunch of guys who work for other teams, like, what's Chicago's prospect base? Like, not that good, right? And they said, actually, it's better than you think. They've got a few forwards in Rockford who are ready for the NHL, and they keep signing some of these European guys, like Panarin from the Russian team. Like, people couldn't believe that Chicago got him. And it said, you're taking a chance when you're going in next year with a bunch of guys who haven't played a ton. They've got Teravainen now there too, although he was scratched last night. It's no guarantee it's going to work, Ryan, but they've got a lot of talented young guys on low salaries that can support the Taves and the Canes. You know, I think Sharp will be gone in the off season, so they're going to need a couple of these guys to step up. But at least people say the cupboard is not bare. They're better stocked than you would think.
Yeah, they're going to have to pay Sod, too. He's due for a healthy
raise. They're going to have to pay Sod, so Sharp will be gone. And, sooner – and you know what? They're going to have a big decision, too, on Kruger. Like, he's another guy who's very important for them.
What else is happening?
Well, I think, the Buffalo coaching situation, I believe Dan Bylsma's heading out to San Jose. He's going out there to do his job interview. I think he'll interview in Buffalo as well. They asked for permission yesterday. I reported last week about Kirby Reichel potentially being available for Columbus. I'm hearing the market on him is pretty hot, that a lot of teams are calling. They're looking for a defenseman in exchange, whether it's straight up for him or he's part of a package. I think there's a lot of interest in that guy. There's a lot of teams who look at him and say, he's the kind of player that we want. And, I think...
Why would they move him, Elliot?
Why?
Why would they move Kirby Reichel? Yeah.
If you look, Dean, at their roster, they are loaded with young forwards. They've got Boone Jenner. They've got Mark O'Donnell. They've got Alex Wenberg. They've got Bjorkstrand, the kid who scored 61 goals in Portland this year. They've just got a lot, and they really feel they're thin on defense. So they're dealing from a position of strength there. The other thing, too, guys, is I think you'll start hearing the trade talk heat up in the next week or so because a lot of teams are having their scouting meetings. And, I think teams are going to look at it like, okay, now that we've sit down and we've kind of looked around, they're making their draft lists, and they're starting to say, okay, here's who's available and here's who we're going to look for. So I think you'll start hearing some of that filter out over the next week.
Good job tap dancing yesterday. I was complimenting your stretching ability when the
what time does the 11 a.m. press conference start? Yeah, what were they doing? That took a long time.
Yeah, and here's more of Elliot standing in a room filling time.
I look good in the two.
Good job, pal.
Shoes. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
Any final words for Mr. Rhett Warner, who's set to go on his couple-year vacation or whatever it turns out to be?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Warner, have a great summer, buddy. And you know what? Just make sure that farmer's tan doesn't look too bad, okay?
Oh, it's going to be hot.
Get that boiler in the sun.
And who are you waving to?
Oh, I just it's stupid, idiotic thing I do. There's nobody in particular.
Because this is the thing now, at the end of panel sessions,
I forgot
Elliot
one
waves.
Time. And actually, they made a musical to it. It's actually pretty funny. One of the guys put them all together and made a musical to it, but I don't want them to play that. That's way too self-indulgent.
You're like royalty.
You're like Mike Babcock.
Babcock.
If Elliot Friedman's got a wave to the camera, then Elliot Friedman's got a wave to the camera. Thanks, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right, guys. Have yourself a great weekend. Oh, and one other thing. Now that Hammond signed, teams are calling Ottawa. What do you want? Which guy? And if Ottawa can get a top six forward for one of those two guys, that's the guy who goes, I think.
Edmonton. Nice.
Yeah,
thanks,
I definitely think they're going to be in it, too.
Yeah. Good stuff. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.